Welcome to Local SEO Today. On this podcast, John Vong interviews business professionals and entrepreneurs in many fields to uncover challenges and successes in business ownership. Our goal is to provide you with insights into the entrepreneurship journey and give you tips and advice from real experience. Brought to you by Local SEO Search, based in Toronto, Canada.
I'd like to welcome our guests for today, Erin Berry. She is a marketer, tech expert, and entrepreneur. Erin was named one of Marketing Magazine's top 30 under 30 and is currently the CEO at the estate planning startup Willful. Prior to that, Erin was the managing director at communications at a communications firm, 88, and the founding editor at a startup publication, Beta Kit. She has a unique perspective from the marketing and startup side and has also contributed articles to many publications on small business. Thanks for being on our show today, Erin.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Perfect. Well, let's start off with just if you can let the audience members know a little bit about yourself. How do people know you by, and what is your expertise today in profession?
Yeah, for sure. So I think people probably know me as someone who's a big startup enthusiast and a champion for entrepreneurs and someone who is great at building brands. So my background is I'm a journalism grad. I worked in PR briefly at an agency, but then really pivoted to working in startups and becoming an entrepreneur myself. So over the past several years, I've worked in-house at a startup doing marketing. I was a journalist for a couple of years, running a publication called Beta Kit, which reports on the startup industry. I then spent about 6 years running a PR and design agency that worked primarily with startups. And now I'm the CEO of Willful, the estate planning company. And I also have a side hustle. I own a Prince Edward County bicycle wine tour company. So I think entrepreneur, marketer, startup enthusiast, that's probably how people would know me.
Wow, that sounds like you're very busy.
But yeah, they always say if you want something done, give it to a busy person. And that's kind of how I choose to live my life.
No, that's very true. So before I get into some of the other questions, I wanted to ask you, like, where did you get this entrepreneurial spirit from? Because was it like something you kind of was born with, or over the years, did you kind of lead up to learning and wanting to do what you're doing today? Or were there people that inspired you to become who you are?
It's a great question, because I think I firmly believe there are two types of entrepreneurs. There are the entrepreneurs who are born with it, who, you know, started their first company at age 10 and just always have entrepreneurial ideas floating around in their head. And it's kind of a way of life for them from an early age. And often those are the people who grow up with entrepreneurial parents and they see the example of small business in their family. I was certainly not that person. I grew up with parents, one of whom was a journalist, the other was a marketing executive at Nortel. And I didn't really even know what entrepreneurship was. I grew up in the 90s when we didn't really have role models like we do today when it comes to startups, and it wasn't considered cool to be an entrepreneur back then. So I was a late bloomer in terms of entrepreneurship, like many other people who weren't exposed to entrepreneurship and come to know about it and learn about it and love it later in life. So it was only after going to work for an entrepreneur and working in startups for a few years that I caught the entrepreneurial bug myself and realized that this was a direction I wanted to take with my career. But if I hadn't been introduced to it, I don't know. Maybe I would still be working at a big agency or working at a Fortune 500 company, just like my mom. But I'm very thankful that I was introduced to the startup world.
So in terms of like careers over the years, right? What made you move around? Like, I know you've mentioned you worked at multiple agencies and startups. What was the main purpose of that? And why didn't you stay longer? And really, what made you kind of make that big step into entrepreneurship? Because there's a lot of listeners here actually wanting and are currently living and working at a career. Like, they've been working in their job for many, many years, right? So what kind of advice can you give them in terms of where you started and how you pivoted to being an entrepreneur?
For sure. So like I said, it was never my intention or my dream to launch my own business. I didn't even really know that was a possibility. I think a lot of the reasons that I moved around were just out of a confluence of factors that came together and just made it the right decision. So the first job I had at a PR agency, I really loved that job. And it wasn't that I was looking for a change, but I was presented with the opportunity through a mutual friend to go join this startup and work for an entrepreneur. And it was just too good of an opportunity to pass up. And I actually was working for that entrepreneur for about 5 years. Our company was acquired by Post Media, the media company. And so we launched a different brand under it. So it seems like I've had a few different jobs, but that one job actually encompassed a couple different roles. And then honestly, I moved on from there, not by choice. Our team was actually laid off on a conference call by the Post Media team. And so I found myself, you know, in one of the low points of my career where I was thinking about what to do next and I was out of a job. And, you know, I took that as an opportunity to think about what I wanted to do. And I knew that I wanted to pursue entrepreneurship. And that's how I got involved with the agency I was running, because it was very small. I didn't start it, but I came in when it was about 3 or 4 people and had a chance to dip my toes into entrepreneurship as a business owner first before actually launching something myself from the ground up. And, you know, I think millennials get a very bad rap for moving around and switching jobs a lot. And in my experience, it's not that they're, you know, they're not willing to put in the hard work and build a career somewhere. It's more so that they're really passionate about career growth. And so if they're in a role that seems stagnant, and this is true for myself as well, if they get to a point where they're stagnant and they're not given opportunities to grow, they're going to look elsewhere. And so that's what happened to me with the agency. I had been there for about 6 years, which is, you know, a good stint. And I just felt like I wasn't learning anything new and it was just becoming too routine. And that's what made me want to go on and do something different. And I think for anyone listening who is considering entrepreneurship or like me, doesn't consider themselves an entrepreneurial person, but is interested in learning more about it, I think a good place to start is listening to the podcast, How I Built This, which is an NPR podcast that interviews some of the most successful entrepreneurs like Sarah Blakely from Spanx and the founders of Airbnb about their entrepreneurial journey. And I find it's really helpful just to hear those sparks of inspiration, how they encountered a problem and how they decided to solve it and what those ups and downs were along the way, because some entrepreneurial journeys can seem very glamorous, especially when they are valued at $1 billion and on the cover of Fortune magazine. But there's always that origin story of, you know, how it took them years to get to the point where they were even making a profit. So I would recommend listening to that podcast because I think it gives you a lot of inspiration. And then getting out to events in your city. There are great startup and entrepreneurship events in every city and town across Canada, or small business events. So get out there and start meeting people, start hearing stories from other entrepreneurs. And I think that's what infects you with the entrepreneurial bug, is hearing all of these other entrepreneurs and seeing the cool things that they're doing.
Yeah, it sounds like you're definitely on the right track because, you know, listening to podcasts or surrounding yourself with like-minded people is definitely really important in terms of the entrepreneur journey, because a lot of people are lonely, right? Like they're in it, but they don't understand there's actually a lot of support out there if you actually reach out and let other people know about it. And I'm glad that you're telling us about that, because even this podcast today, we're looking at local as well as international small business owners that have been in it for many years. You don't have to look at those very large companies to see, because those are one in a million or one in a trillion even, or billion, right? Think about the local stuff. Success means different things for different people, right? And you don't have to be that large to be happy, right? All you have to do is have a very good product that you're filling a need for and people are willing to pay for it, right? So this podcast, and it's great that you're on this because, you know, you've been through it, right? And now you're living the entrepreneurial journey of, you know, yes, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to grow, but you're always learning and surrounding yourself with like-minded people, right? So it's great. Another question I wanted to ask you was, did you have to obtain like a coach or a mentor, or were there classes? Because I know you mentioned podcasts and networking events locally, but were there people that inspired you, mentors that pushed you along the way?
Great question. Yeah, I think behind every successful entrepreneur or every person in business, there are the people that have influenced them and shaped their careers. And for me, that was very much my first boss at a startup, Sarah Prevett, who is a serial entrepreneur from London, Ontario. She currently runs a company called Future Design School, which is trying to bring innovation to school boards across North America. And she was really a huge influence for me. She, you know, I remember telling her that my career goal was to work at a Fortune 500 company and to make six figures, because that was what my mom had done at Nortel. And she actually laughed in my face and said, "That you need to dream bigger." And it was such a pivotal moment for me, because all of my life, that was my version of success. And here was someone literally laughing in the face of my definition of success and telling me that's the least you can achieve. You should really be dreaming bigger. So she really gave me permission to build a different dream for myself and to think about entrepreneurship as a career path. And then in a more formal capacity, when I was running my agency, it was my first time running an agency, and I definitely knew there was a lot I didn't know about that, what to do. So I actually worked with an agency-specific business coach for about 4 years. His name is Carl Sakis, and he's based out of North Carolina, but he specializes in helping agency owners with operations and just with general ongoing coaching. And I think it's crucial, especially when you're someone who's running a company, to have someone like Carl that you can actually work with and who can help you grow, because you don't always have someone to hold you accountable and to ask you about what your goals are. And you also can't necessarily share things. To your point about entrepreneurs being lonely, even if you have a team, there's a lot of turmoil that goes on behind the scenes that you don't always want to share with your team. And I'm sure you find the same thing at your firm. You don't always want to let everyone know the challenges that you're facing. So having someone like a business coach or even a therapist that specializes in working with entrepreneurs can be really helpful, just to be able to go have someone hear about your problems, give you advice, but to not have to share those things with your team.
Yeah. Like, and that's the other thing, reaching out to people that might assist you, right? And I think vulnerability is very critical. Like, the more vulnerable you are as an entrepreneur, the more help people are willing to lend, right? But if they don't know that you're struggling with certain things, how do they know to help you? And where can they, you know, help you, right? So these are really good, valid points. Even throughout my journey, right? Like, I had good managers, VPs, owners. And when I was growing up, I always wanted to be very similar to you, the CEO of a very large Fortune 500 company, right? And again, for me, growing up in Hamilton, I didn't really have a lot of mentors or people that I looked up to, because, you know, in that small community, they didn't really have a lot of big companies there for me to even surround people with, right? So moving to Toronto, it was a little bit different. I had the opportunity to network a little bit and meet some great successful people, so.
Good. Well, I'm glad that we both had a similar path then.
Definitely. So in terms of some of the biggest challenges that you faced so far, because I know you mentioned, you know, there were some down times during your career, but how did you get up from it? Who inspired you? How did you stay motivated to do what you're doing today? Because every entrepreneur's, there's stories on, it's never a rosy, you know, road to success, right? There's always going to be failures or trouble during that time, right? So how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I think every success story that you read about an entrepreneur intentionally leaves out all of the down moments in a lot of cases. And I think the best thing that we can do as entrepreneurs, or just as business people, is to share the down moments and share the lows as much as the highs, because it really helps other people realize that they're not alone, that it's very normal to be laid off or to, you know, have a moment of challenge in your career. And for me, I had two kind of challenges in my career. The first was the startup that I was working for actually ran out of funding. And so we were forced to announce that we were shutting down. And that was really hard, obviously, because I had poured my blood, sweat, and tears into building this company. And it was really tough to kind of admit defeat in front of your community and in front of journalists and everyone who was really rooting for you to succeed. Luckily, we actually were brought into the Post Media family after that. So we were able to keep going, but that was a really hard moment. And I think we just stayed stayed motivated during that time, knowing how much work we had put into it and knowing that we had done the best we could, and knowing that, you know, it was kind of an amazing experience and we learned a lot along the way, even if it didn't turn out with a $1 billion IPO or exit. And the second challenge that I faced was being laid off on a conference call from Post Media along with the rest of our team. And that was the first time I had ever been laid off. I know a lot of people go through that experience and I've heard so many stories. As soon as I tell someone I was laid off, they usually say, oh, I was laid off too. What was your experience like? So for me, it was really, I took it as an opportunity to reassess where my career was and what I really wanted to do next. There aren't that many opportunities in our career to actually just sit back and reflect. What do I enjoy? What do I not enjoy? Where, if I could engineer my career in a specific way, what would that look like? So for me, it was a great chance to sit back and to reflect on the 5 or 6 years that I had spent in startups and to think about what was next very intentionally instead of just falling into the next thing. And I think that's what kept me motivated. And the thing that really saved me in both of those down moments was my network. I'm a big, big proponent of building your network, getting out and meeting people, because when you have one of those low moments and you put it out to your network, everyone's willing to help you, to go for coffee, to send job postings your way, to introduce you to someone at their company that you might want to meet with about a job. So, you know, I know it's a lot of effort, especially when you're busy with your work and your head's down, or if you have a family, to go to events and to make an effort to grow your network. But to me, that's the only thing that saves you when you have one of those low points.
I will strongly agree, because relationships are so critical, especially close relationships that you kind of form, because a networking event could be selling, but when you start giving more, like you put yourself out there and you're willing to help others and they see that you're kind of a giver versus a taker. People are willing to give when you're in need, right? So yes, I strongly agree that networking is so critical, and just get out there and form better relationships in your business community, right? And don't stay isolated, especially if you're an entrepreneur, because it's such a lonely place at the beginning. But until you realize what's important and you realize like there is a community that is going through, there are people doing what you're doing and they're struggling like you and they're putting in 18 hours, 16 hours a day. It's not just you that's going through it. There's others that are, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be face-to-face as well, right? Like there are forums now. There are communities online. There are other places if you're not comfortable with face-to-face, right? But there are groups that are willing to help, definitely.
For sure.
So in terms of, I guess that's the challenges and mistakes, but advice. So starting off, someone that's just running a new business, are there a couple advice tips that you can give to people?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first tip that I would have for people is to really ask themselves what kind of business they're building. And that will really dictate everything from your fundraising strategy to how you build your team and who you hire to your vision and your mission and your values as a company. And what I mean by the type of company is, are you a high growth company? Are you the type of company that is going to sell, build to sell, and your ideal outcome is you grow really quickly and you sell or IPO and it's all about the hyper growth? Because that really dictates how much capital you have to raise and the types of rock stars that you're looking to hire. Or are you more looking to build a lifestyle business, something where it's not a rocket ship, where your ideal outcome may not even be selling, it might just be running the business yourself in 10 to 20 years. And you want to grow slowly but steadily instead of, you know, giving up equity to investors. You might want to grow at a more organic pace. And I think that question is really important, because a lot of people start their business because they're solving a problem. You know, they want to solve a problem for themselves, so they created this product, or they're really great at a thing like SEO and someone asks them to help out with it and all of a sudden they're running a little agency. But a lot of people don't actually sit down and intentionally think about what the outcome is going to be for their business. And if I certainly didn't do that when I was running my agency. And once I got 3 or 4 years into it and realized, you know, I don't really have a strategy around what my exit plan is, it would have been so beneficial for me to go back to the beginning. And there's actually a really great book by a Canadian businessman named John Warrilow called Built to Sell. And it's such a great book to read because it basically, if you are one of those companies who does dream of selling to another company one day, it creates a blueprint for you from day one on how to do that. And I think it's really helpful to read in the early stages. But that's my one piece of advice. My second piece of advice, I think, is always focus on the personal brand and the personal network. Because I think we've talked about this before, the power of your network is really what helps you in the early stages of your business. You know, I'm not a salesperson. The idea of cold calling someone makes me nauseous. But so in the early days of my agency, when I was tasked with bringing in new business and leads, I wasn't going to do it the traditional way of cold calling and door knocking. I knew that it was my network that was going to bring in those leads, referrals, and speaking at events. And so I invested a lot of my time and energy in building my personal brand and by extension, building the company's brand. And it was a really successful strategy for us. So I would definitely say invest in building relationships with investors, with media, with partners, with potential employees, and with anyone who you can think of who would be, you know, helpful to your business. And to your point, I think when we chatted prior to hitting record, you talked a lot about reciprocal value and a lot of people thinking of networking as a one-way relationship. How can you help me? And I think your point about going into it thinking, how can I help you, is actually such a better way of looking at it. It creates richer relationships and it means that it's a two-way street. And that when you do go ask for a favor, let's say you are laid off or your company has an announcement and you want an introduction to somebody, then they're going to feel like it's not just a one-way pull relationship, that you're actually adding value.
No, those are great tips for sure. I think for a lot of the small business owners, I always mention like you are the salesperson. However, what you brought up was a really valid point, especially if you're not built for doing sales, right? There are other ways to let people know what kind of service and product you're selling. And maybe using your network or relationships can elevate that and have some sort of referral program or affiliate program or something in the lines of how do you bring in sales? Either hire someone that's really good at it because that's not your strength, or do it yourself, right? Like it's either or, but in order to grow your business and make it successful, you need sales. You need clients that are willing to pay you, right? Those are really good points. Like myself, I did grow up doing sales all my life. So I was very comfortable approaching business owners. So your perspective was a little bit different because you didn't have that background and you were never strong, right? So, and you were never comfortable doing it. So why put that, like try to learn something that's very difficult to learn in a short time, right? Why not hire someone or leverage your network? So that was
And to your point about you're really strong at sales, and I wasn't necessarily, we both achieved the same goal, which is getting clients on board and building a successful firm, but we decided to play to our strengths. And I think that's another great tip for entrepreneurs. There's no way that you could ever be an expert on every aspect of your business. You might be an expert at the finance side, but you're not great at the marketing side. And it's not that I'm saying don't learn those things. It's always great to have a cursory or baseline understanding of things like SEO or PR or marketing or finance, because you should be able to at least speak the language and assess external vendors or interview hires for the roles that you're trying to fill. But you should also really focus on playing to your strengths. For me, that's things like communications and branding and operations. And I really think, you know, if you force yourself to do things that you don't enjoy doing. So for me, things like cold calling or sales, you're going to put them off. It's going to fall to the bottom of the list and you're never going to do it. So think about what you actually love doing and enjoy doing, play to those strengths, and then fill the gaps with the things that you're not great at with vendors, employees, etc. But do make an effort to at least learn how to baseline understand those things, right?
Definitely. Those are really valid points. And we talk a lot about that on our podcast, because do what you enjoy ultimately, because why are you in business in the first place? Not to do something you hate, right? Do something you love. You do it very well and fill in the gaps, like you mentioned. Yeah. So running a business yourself, I wanted to ask you, because in terms of the advancements of technology, software, devices, how has that helped you scale and grow your business over the years?
Yeah, I think, I mean, without technology, our business wouldn't be possible. We're building a tool to help people create wills online. And Even 10 years ago, I don't think people would have necessarily been comfortable creating a legal document online. But now we've seen so many industries disrupted by technology. We get into strangers' cars every day with Uber. We stay at strangers' homes every time we travel on Airbnb. And it's become very commonplace to take very complex legal or financial processes like investing or doing your taxes and to do those things using online tools. So for me, technology has opened up the opportunity to make consumers comfortable with things like creating their will or their estate plan online. And I think for us, it's also opened up a new opportunity to reach potential customers because, you know, a lot of our customers come to us through social media channels or from blogs or publications. And if we were marketing 15 years ago when those tools didn't exist, it would probably be a lot more expensive to reach people and it would be a lot more difficult because we wouldn't be able to scale it. And I think that's what tech gives us is the ability to scale what you're doing on such a larger, in such a larger way.
That's a great point because, you know, the use of technology, if you know how to use certain software and different tools, it can actually elevate you, make you become way more productive and allows you to hit way more people that you were never able to hit before, right? Mm-hmm. So leverage off different mediums, use different technology and software and really use it to your advantage. However, a lot of small, medium-sized businesses, they're experts at just what they're good at, right? Like whatever they trained and went to school for. So if they hire someone that actually knows what they're doing in terms of scaling, that might be of a benefit because you might not know what's the best and latest and greatest for how to grow your business and scale, right? But there's a huge amount of opportunity if you are willing to learn and get out there, right?
Yeah, and I think to your point, I mean, when you think about tech from a productivity standpoint, I think companies are so lucky in 2019 to have tools like Zoom, which we're using right now to make it easy to chat with remote employees, and tools like Slack for workplace communication. And there are, you know, even just things, I use an app called Todoist, which is a to-do list app that helps me a ton. Trello, which helps our team stay organized. These are all tools that make us more efficient and productive and help us to stay in the loop. I know you mentioned that you have a remote team and these tools are probably what make you feel more connected and allow you to be productive day to day. So it's not just that technology has helped us build our product or reach our customers. It also just helps us as a company to stay connected and to be more productive.
These are really good tools that you mentioned because I do use all of them and others. The key is knowing which tools to use and allowing it to become more productive, right? Like making sure everyone's on board using it for the benefit of the company, right? Not for the social aspect or whatnot. It's really for productivity. And ultimately, it also reduces the cost as well, right? Because you don't need an office today to be as big as you look online, right? Because, you know, people don't really, you know, depending on how big your, what your target audience is, most people can do transactions online now, right? They're much more comfortable and you don't need that office space to meet clients like you used to. Right. And that restricts your presence as well, because people don't travel to downtown Toronto as often anymore because of traffic. With a Zoom meeting, I mean, you don't have to take an hour to get down there, you know, get stuck in traffic, get frustrated, and your employees are frustrated that way as well. So, you know, just the lifestyle of employees as well as staff, as well as your clients can be enhanced with some of the tools and software out there.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So and I know you mentioned about networking events for entrepreneurs, right? How did you even find them? Because a lot of these, you know, entrepreneurs locally or anywhere that, you know, across Canada, US, they're afraid, right? They don't even know where to go. There's always a small business center. There's, you know, chambers of commerce, and maybe there's BIAs or whatnot, but people may not be comfortable going out there and networking. What would you say to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, very few people absolutely love networking. Very few people love going to an event with a bunch of strangers and walking up to people and introducing themselves. In fact, if you're good at sales like you probably have no problem with walking up to a group of strangers, but most people find it anxiety inducing and not how they would choose to spend their evening. But it is, I wouldn't call it a necessary evil because I don't think it is an evil, but it is a necessary thing to do in your career. In terms of actually finding events, something that was really helpful for me when I was first starting out in startups back in 2008 was Meetup. Meetup.com is really great for finding local events in your area. But lately, I would say there's a tool called startupdigest.com that has become more valuable to me. So it is a weekly newsletter that lands in your inbox every Monday morning and that highlights all of the small business and startup events happening in your city that week. It's all over North America, so there is probably one available in your city. And I find that that's really helpful just to be able to see a curated list of the top events. Because the challenge I would have with Meetup is you might see an event there, but you show up and there's only four people and then you kind of feel like it was a waste of time. So the ones in Startup Digest tend to be vetted and they tend to be a bit higher quality. And in terms of how to stay motivated to network, I think it's about, you know, making it work with your schedule. Everyone thinks, oh, I have to spend four nights a week going out to networking events, but there are a lot of networking breakfast events, lunch events, digital events like Twitter chats or webinars or Facebook live sessions where you don't necessarily have to give up all of your free time. No one wants to do that, especially if you have a family. So find one or two strategic events to attend per week maximum, because you don't need to attend everything. And find them at a time that works for you, a time and location that works for you. And, you know, think about digital events. It's not just about meeting people in person. Like you said, technology is connecting us more than ever. So if you're really, really terrified of going and introducing yourself to strangers, join a Twitter chat or find another way online. And I would also say that volunteering and philanthropy are a great way to meet people. I'm on the board of Tech for Sick Kids and Save the Children Canada. And those are great ways to meet people in my industry and in a way that doesn't feel like I have to introduce myself to strangers, because we're all working around a common cause. And there are lots of opportunities to volunteer or attend charity events that I think are an easier, more friendly way to network.
No, those are really valid points. I do want to add that, you know, entrepreneurs today are equipped with so much out there. Like, there's so much available content. There's tools. Like, if you're not sure, you can always listen to a podcast. You can watch a YouTube video. You can go online and look for a webinar that you might be, you know, interested in based on, you know, some of the topics. Join a forum or group. Facebook forums or Twitter groups or LinkedIn. There's so much out there that, you know, you should not be alone doing what you're doing, right? There should be support. And just, I think the big thing is don't feel like you're going through it by yourself, right? There are people willing to help. And if you are vulnerable enough to reach out for it and ask for help, people are willing more, like, this whole community of entrepreneurs, we're giving type of people. We're in business of helping others, right? So if you reach out for help, they will reciprocate for sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, because when I was first starting out working in the startup industry, I reached out to so many other entrepreneurs, people who were way ahead of where I was, and said, hey, can we grab a coffee? I'd love to learn a bit more about your experience. And most of those people said, absolutely. I feel like there's such a culture in entrepreneurship of paying it forward, because everyone, when they just start out, looks to those more successful entrepreneurs. And then once they go through their career and actually get to the point where they're the one being asked for advice, they're more than willing to pay it forward because they were shown the same kindness when they were starting out. So I find everyone is very open to having a quick call to talk through a problem or going for coffee so you can pick someone's brain. It's just that a lot of us are afraid to ask because we're afraid the answer might be no. But I would encourage people listening, you know, if there is an expert or an entrepreneur that you've been admiring for a while, reach out, ask if you can have 15 minutes of their time. And you'd probably be surprised that the answer will be yes more often than it will be no.
That's great advice. Thanks a lot. And then in terms of motivation and passion, right? Did you start your business going after your passion? Like, because things change, right? Life gets in the way. You know, starting your business, what was the real purpose? And did you go for that as a business model, or was it really a lifestyle choice?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I think every entrepreneur should be passionate about the problem that they're solving and the product or service that they're selling. Because if you don't have that passion, then you're not going to be able to get through the really tough moments. In the case of Willful, it was actually my husband's idea originally, because he had a family member who passed away unexpectedly. And he just saw how broken the process was of, you know, wrapping up someone's life from the perspective of, you know, his uncle had never discussed funeral plans or burial wishes. Even though he had a will, there were all of these other things outside of a will that he had never spoken to his wife of 40 years about. And that was really what gave Kev the inspiration to start Willful and to help other families plan for and think about the uncomfortable things that we don't like to discuss with our family. So I think the passion and was always there from the beginning, because he saw and we saw firsthand what can happen when you don't have a plan in place and the stress that it puts on families at a time when they should just be allowed to grieve and not have to think about these details. So that's really been our mission from day one, is to help as many Canadians as possible get an estate plan in place. And not only that, to have conversations with their loved ones about what would happen if they passed away, what they would want, where all of their important information is stored, because these are things that we just don't talk about. So for us, that's really the passion that kind of motivates us and the mission that guides our company. Every decision we make, we ask ourselves, will this get more wills into the hands of Canadians, or will this help more people have conversations with their loved ones? And it's a really great North Star. And every entrepreneur listening, just like you ask yourself, am I a high growth business or a lifestyle business? You do need to define your mission and your vision and the values that drive you as a company, because then, you know, you're often paralyzed by choice when you're an entrepreneur. There are so many different directions that you could pursue with your product or your marketing. And it's really great to have that North Star to be able to come back to ask yourself, does this help serve our mission? And if not, I'm going to put it aside.
Yeah, and I think over the years, especially in the startup phase, you may find that the audience or the type of people that you want to go after at the beginning changes over the years, right? So get ready to pivot, get ready to adapt quickly. And because you're small and nimble, you're able to, because, you know, everyone writes this huge business plan. They have huge ideas, but when they first start off, I mean, it never goes as planned, right? As you know. So just get ready and prepared for that.
Yeah. And it happens to everybody, right? If you think that your business is going to look the same in 5 years as it does today, or if you think the product that you launch is going to be the same as the one that you scribbled on a napkin, you're probably going to find out quickly that's not the case. And in our case, the original idea for the business was actually called Final Blueprint. And it was an online account that helped you store everything outside of your will. And when we launched it, we heard crickets. Nobody was buying it. No one was interested in it. And really, we realized that it was because we had built a vitamin, a nice to have, instead of a painkiller, something that people really needed. And people don't like thinking about death. So they're not going to actually go on and take the time to think about all of those things. But in our conversations with people, we heard the same thing all the time, which was, oh, you're an online will company. I need a will. So we decided to pivot to focusing on wills, knowing that it was something that people really needed instead of a nice to have. And that pivot is part of so many entrepreneurial journeys, from successful companies like Slack and Instagram, all the way down to companies like Willful. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. If you try something and it doesn't work, it's more about what you learn from that and how you can turn that into a future iteration of your product or service.
No, it's great. Great point, because, you know, a lot of people are so set in stone with their idea and their goals, right, when they first start off. But, you know, you'll soon realize that maybe there's not a market for it, or there's an audience that you think there is, but reality, you really need to really focus or narrow down and be very niche, right? So those are very valid points. So I wanted to just ask you, aside from business, what other pillars believe that have really molded you to become who you are? So aside from business, family, your health, community, what has molded you to be who you are today?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I feel like a lot of times you get asked about your business and not about your personal. So it's actually cool to include a question like that. For me, it's definitely been travel. You know, I was lucky enough to have a parent, my mom, who traveled a lot for work. And so I had a chance to catch the travel bug early. And it's just been such a guiding passion for me. I'm so curious about the world. And I think every time I go somewhere, it just makes me a better person. And that travel also makes you a better business person, because a lot of entrepreneurship is this idea that you have to hustle all the time. You have to be working 18-hour days. You have to be on the clock. And if you're not, you're somehow a lazy entrepreneur, or you're lesser than, or you're not committed. And I think that's total BS. I think every entrepreneur, every business person needs time to reset, relax, and get the creative juices flowing. And sometimes those are the best opportunities to reflect on where your business is and where you want to take it. And also, you know, life is short. We talk every day at Willful about how life is short and how tomorrow isn't guaranteed. And you should have time to relax with your loved ones and really enjoy your time off. So travel is a huge priority for me, both for work and for personal. And this year alone, we've traveled to Fiji, Australia, New Zealand, Singapore, and Scotland. So it's been a big year of travel, but I'm very passionate about it. And I think it's really molded me into the person that I am today. And it's also really helped influence my business and help me build relationships all over the world.
No, those are really good points. And in terms of travel, I also want to add, like, you know, you, if that's your passion, put it in the calendar before you put meetings in, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's more important to you. So whatever is the most important thing, schedule it and just do it, right? Because people kind of run the opposite. They believe business should come first because it's financing your travels. Well, if you think it about it the opposite way, where if that's your passion and you really love traveling, do put it in your calendar, book it, and make sure that you go on that trip because you've always dreamt of it, right? Business will always come. Yeah, it may take a little bit longer to make up that, you know, sale or whatnot, but it's okay because life is a journey, right? And you just have to live passionately and you got to follow your dreams, right? So, you know, everything you're saying is great. I love it. So,
yeah, it's also a great point about scheduling things. Fitness is another pillar of my life. I really love working out. I'm a big fan of boutique fitness studios, and I typically work out about 3 to 4 times a week. And I'm a huge believer in the power of exercise to help entrepreneurs with the anxiety and stress that comes along with building a company. And it's one of those things that you have to schedule in and prioritize, because it's so easy to put off working out or going to the gym, especially when you're tired and you're going out to events all the time and you're just stressed out with life. So for me, fitness is another pillar that I make sure to schedule, and that is, you know, I never compromise. And yes, there are days where I don't feel like doing it and I press the snooze button, but you know, I think entrepreneurs have to figure out what are those things that are really important to me that I won't compromise on, whether that's being home every night for dinner with my kids or taking every weekend off from actually looking at email so I can be more present. Figure out what those non-negotiables are and put them into your calendar. And it's not lame to put working out or family dinner into your calendar, because otherwise you're just going to schedule things over it, to your point, and that's not fair.
Those are really valid points. I mean, I do that myself. Like I do the 5 a.m. club. So every morning I go to the gym, I self-reflect, write down what am I appreciative of every day, and just everything that really allows me to reflect and be focused when I am at work. And once the day's over, it's my family time. So my son, my wife, you know, and that's how I am able to accomplish what I'm accomplishing, right? And you have to, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you can't get caught up, and it's a vicious cycle, right? Especially if you're starting off, yes, at the beginning, you may expect like you need to do everything, and maybe it is because the revenue is not there or there's going to be struggles, but make sure that your goal is to get away from that and don't run your business that way, or else you're going to drain, right? Like you're going to be so stressed. You're going to, you know, not even want to work another day, right? Like it's just, you know, life is about other things in terms of your passion as well, right? Like health, mm-hmm. family, travel, whatever it may be, even community, giving back, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So thanks a lot, Erin. I really appreciate your time. Those were really, very good, valid points that you brought up. Great advice for a lot of budding entrepreneurs. So where can some of the listeners learn a little bit more about your business, and how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they can find our business at Willful, WILLFUL.co. It's active for most provinces in Canada. So if you're listening from the US and you need a will, check out Trust and Will, a partner of ours down south. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and pretty much everywhere at Erin Burry, E-R-I-N-B-U-R-Y.
Perfect. Well, thanks a lot, Erin. And everyone who joined us, these were really great tips. And hopefully you'll get gain some insight from them. Thank you, Erin.
Thank you to you and the team. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you for listening to our latest podcast. Please subscribe to Local SEO Today and tune in to our next episode.